British forces are currently deployed on 39 operations across 46 countries. But what are they doing in these remote and far-flung locations? The FBS joined up with the MOD to find out what life's really like for those on ops. This time, we're having a brew with Army reservists in Cyprus.
Okay, so has everyone got a brew with them?
Yes, absolutely.
Yes, I thank you.
What's your brew of choice?
Oh, go for it. Well, I've gone for a latte. Mm-hmm. Always does me.
Yep.
Mine's a latte, and since I've been here, I've got quite a nice thing with iced lattes.
Yeah, they like them out here, don't they? They seem to like their iced lattes.
They do very good coffee out here. Definitely.
Have you tried the local coffee, though?
Yeah, the Cypriot coffee.
With the powder in the bottom. A little surprise for you when you get the end of the cup.
Yeah. So, do you want to introduce yourself, sir?
Hi, also, I'm Captain Roberts. I'm the NG MOLO. MOLO standing for Military Observation and Liaison Officer. And I'm the NG, which stands for National Guard, which is the Greek Cypriot forces out here in Cyprus. And essentially, my job is to ensure that any complaints or protests about violations about the opposing forces are dealt with, and all that comes through me to prevent the op force from getting into conflict with each other. So essentially, I'm here to try and reduce that tension and speak to that side in particular. And I also deal with the TF MOLO, so the Turkish Forces Liaison Officer, and we work as a small team to make sure that we reduce the tensions and prevent further violations. So that's me. What about you, Nathan?
My name is Private Jarzy Mathan. I am 5 Company, 3 Royal Anglian. And being a private, I guess I do a lot of the work within the buffer zone. So I'm here to provide a guard force, so guarding the gate, stagging on, that kind of thing. Also QRF, which is a quick reaction force, meaning that if something kicks off in the buffer zone, we all get in the Hiluxes and we bomb down there and sort things out there. And then, of course, I go out on patrol. So I go out on the ground, I look for violations, I make sure that we haven't got any civilians or anything like that in the buffer zone. And, just generally kind of keep the peace out on the ground there.
So when we say quick reaction force, that can mean anything from during the summertime, there's a lot of fires in the buffer zone because civilian or forces that can't just travel in there. It could be as simple as just going and isolating fires. And if it's too much for us to deal with, we will then escort the fire services into the buffer zone itself. And any civil intrusions, people coming from north to south, we find them in there, we will just escort them back to the side that they actually come from, whether it be in the northern side or southern side. Okay, so I'm Sam Wudge. I'm in Ops Company. I'm a 3 Platoon Sergeant. So my day-to-day job while I'm here is the general day-to-day running of the platoon, any admin points what need to be brought up, any welfare points. And because of the nature of what we've been doing here with being away from home for so long and not being able to get home and see our families, there has been quite a few welfare issues. Just in regards to some of the younger lads, it's the first time they've been away from home. So it has been quite busy just dealing with them type of things. So that's been my main role while we've been here. What do you do for your civvy job, sir?
Yeah, I'm a teacher at a grammar school in Kent. So I teach biology and the odd bit of PE, and also coach rugby. So I think I've taken some of the lessons from the playground and the classroom, and I think they're helping with the conflict resolution out here, as I'm sure you guys know as you come across some of the disputes in and on the edge of the buffer zone. That some of it will be some playground-like antics, the stone throwing and the name-calling and the like. But very different world in terms of what I've come into in majority of senses. But there are definitely some soft skills that I can use from my civvy work here in the buffer zone. What about yourself?
So in Civvy Street, a bit of a weird one, that one. So I normally work as a bouncer.
So the more hard skills you
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. But no, you're not coming in. It's not on the list.
Yeah, not today, thank you.
But when I'm not doing that, I sometimes work as an actor. occasionally when people are kind enough to pay me to do it.
Yeah, I've heard a rumour about this.
Is this true? Yeah, it's absolutely true. Yeah,
I've seen some of his acting and it's really poor.
No, it's dreadful. It is actually dreadful.
So are we allowed to name the individual that I've heard that you've doubled for?
I don't like to talk about it, you know. It's Yeah, no, I was once Jason Statham's body double. Many years ago now.
Just the body double.
Just the body double, yeah. Obviously stand-in for a film. And yeah, no, I've done bits and bobs in the past, but I think that was kind of one of the reasons why I joined the army, because I spent a lot of time kind of playing soldiers in various different bits and bobs. And it just got to the point where I was like, actually, I think I want to do this for real as opposed to just kind of playing at it. And so, yeah, that was kind of one of my roots in, definitely.
So you have played a few roles as army soldier?
Yeah, weirdly. Yeah, I've played American soldiers. I played a Nazi at one point. World War I, World War II. British soldiers as well. Bits and bobs like that. So, yeah, a bit of a variety.
Very interesting. So
I wouldn't go that far.
So my civvy job, I'm an electrician by day. Down in the southwest in sunny Devon. And now we're here. What the reserves does give you is awesome, amazing opportunities.
Oh,
like
it's incredible.
This.
Yeah,
all
yeah.
over the world have been doing amazing experiences, skiing in Norway, on an exchange with the US Army, Belize, Kenya, all over the world doing different exercises, different experiences have been.
I think the opportunities that the Army Reserve offers you are incredible. I mean, like you, I went skiing. You know, I've got to do some incredible courses and do some crazy things as well. And it's yeah,
stuff you will never get the opportunity to do with
stuff you never do
without doing this. Yeah,
yeah, it's a fantastic way of life. You know, I wouldn't do anything else now.
So we are in Cyprus. We're on Optelic.
No, we're not.
Tosca.
Tosca. Op Tosca. Op Tosca.
We'll blend into one.
So as the Captain Roberts briefed on that, we're basically just keeping the peace in the buffer zone. Mm. So who's got the coolest job, do we reckon?
Best and busiest job. Molos. Military Observer Liaison Officer. It's brilliant. Shall I jump in on this one? Because I already have. I've already said a little bit about my job, but in terms of where it is useful is that you get to learn a lot about the Greek Cypriot culture in your dealings with the National Guard liaison officers. Mm. So I meet, I've got eight different LOs which I work with, six of them at the battalion level and two at the brigade level because they're two separate brigades that cover our area. And just building relationships and working with those individuals is something that I thoroughly enjoy because I'm learning more and finding out about what each one of them is particularly interesting, whether it's to do with ancient history and Byzantines and so forth, or whether it's more to do with some of them are, which are very into their technology. But whilst I'm doing my job and I'm solving certain little delicate issues at the same time, I'm also building friendships. And that can also be applied to some of the people that we work with at UNHQ as well, in not just only the Greek Cypriots we work with, but also Argentinians, Slovakians, myself and some of the Slovakian engineers were involved in removing an old disused gate, repairing the gate or placing a new gate and repairing and renovating the area. And then it's, you know, maintain the security of the buffer zone and putting a new access point for vehicles for the UN to access a certain area of the buffer zone. With medium to large size vehicles like BFAs and the like, or battlefield ambulances if they was needed. So I particularly enjoyed that part, and there are some other aspects, but obviously looking at it from the ground perspective, you guys are out on the ground a lot more than I am. So.
Yeah, no, I mean, I've got to say, being on patrol in the buffer zone is really cool. I really like it. You know, the buffer zone itself is a very strange and fascinating place. There's lots to look at in there. And I think I remember being quite young and seeing the UN on TV, and I remember seeing the trucks, and I've got a very clear memory of it. So to kind of be here now and to do that is quite special for me. But it's definitely one of the most interesting jobs I think I've had.
Which AO are you in?
I'm in the East AO. So, I mean, a lot of it's farming land, but there is still quite a few villages in there which have just been, you know, abandoned. Mm. But yeah, no, I really enjoy going on patrol.
So I found that sometimes it's almost like walking into a time capsule.
Yeah.
It's like being on a film set.
It's exactly like being on a film set. I mean, it's almost a bit like there was this huge battle being fought, you know, rounds going off, explosions, RPGs, all of that kind of stuff. And it's almost like everybody walked away to go to lunch and just didn't come back for 50 years. So it's left this very strange kind of area.
And do you feel there's still a threat when you're out on patrol?
I don't feel like there's a threat, but I think there's... You can tell that there's a lot of tension between the two sides, I think, understandably. But no, I don't feel a threat from the Turkish forces or the Cypriot forces. You know, we always wave at each other. You know, sometimes you'll get a little salute, which is quite nice. And you do feel like there is a sense of respect, certainly from my side towards them, you know. But yeah, it's a very interesting place and something that I'm very glad that I've had the opportunity to see.
And have you had many conversations with either of the Opfor soldiers?
No, I haven't been able to. I would like to, but there's always a bit of a distance there. There was one occasion whereby there was a small fire in the buffer zone, and we very briefly spoke to one of the guys in their little guard hut. But no, I haven't had the opportunity, which I think is a shame, because I'd be fascinated to speak to them and get their take on everything.
Yeah, and what their feelings are of actually doing the guard positions as such along the ceasefire lines. Mm. What's the weirdest thing to happen so far while we've been here?
There definitely are these little peculiar little incidents, occurrences. I think one of the weird, surreal moments for me was when we went to the very far west, and as if you're entering into Sector 1, and as you go further out in towards the West AO, you come across a village called Mamari, and it's a Greek Cypriot village that is well and truly square in the buffer zone. And we spend a lot of our time, and obviously yourself more than me, trying to maintain the security of the buffer zone, prevent illegal movement and trafficking across the buffer zone. But yet, here is this fully functioning village, and several hundred, if not thousand, individuals that are just living in the middle of what is sometimes referred to as the dead zone, or you know, what we call the buffer zone. And it was quite surreal, just driving through. And that was actually on Christmas Day when we was on patrol, drove through that village and see a number of individuals all having Christmas barbecues, as they do here, souvlas, I think they're called. And that was quite a different picture altogether that I wasn't quite expecting in the middle of our operational tour.
Yeah, because it's weird when you're just driving from here to the buffer zone, so you just go through the middle of a major city centre, a capital city, and you go through a gate, and then all of a sudden you're just dead, and there's absolutely nothing, and you've gone back 50 years.
It's strange. It is strange, because it's such a nice country. You know, it's really modern, and the people are very nice, and the food's fantastic, and all of that kind of stuff. But then, slap bang in the middle of the country, there is just this huge divide between the two sides.
Yeah.
But everything's like, you know, both sides are very nice. You know.
Did you get to see much of the country, you and the other soldiers, the private soldiers, before you?
Yeah, very briefly, before lockdown happened. We bombed down to Paphos and had a couple of good weekends down there. Which was really, really nice to kind of get out into the country and really see it. But it's such at odds with the buffer zone itself and with the political situation, I think.
Different environment altogether once you're down the coast.
Completely different environment, you know.
Yeah. I got myself down to Nisi Beach on one Saturday. Enjoyed it down there. Very scenic, picturesque. But yeah, so at least we got to go down there a bit before the COVID restrictions increased a bit.
And even going up to the north side when we could go up there, just going through them and going through like the historic parts of the country, really, really good.
I hadn't been to the north side before, and I've obviously been to Cyprus before and to Kelia, and also on holiday, but I found there's something that the UN's allowed us to do quite easily, yeah. Especially before Christmas. Mm-hmm. Transit over to the north, and I really enjoyed it, especially going to the cathedral that's now since become a mosque. Mm-hmm. The market bazaar as well.
Yeah, the market's incredible over there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, really nice.
Yes, pick up a decent rug. It's a memento of the tour.
Yeah.
Are you missing home?
I think there's aspects I miss of home. Obviously, my girlfriend, my family. You know, there's certain activities I wouldn't mind taking a walk in the snow right now, and you know, going for a you know, an hour in an English countryside pub somewhere. But given the way the situation is at the moment, that probably wouldn't be happening. But if I had to sum it up, I'm enjoying being here. Definitely, the weather is and you can see why some older British couples might take a winter abroad.
Oh, 100%, yeah, like this now.
Yeah, definitely, you know, come and do 3 months of winter sun, why not? So, fantastic weather we've got at the moment.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, for me, I've got a little boy at home who was 3 when I left and will be 4 when I come back. So being away from him has been really, really tough. Mm. Far harder. I mean, I knew it would be difficult, but it's actually been far harder being away from your child in that way. I mean, I speak to him every day on FaceTime, but it's a poor substitute for physically being there. Mm. And I think it's one of those things I felt quite guilty for leaving him at times. But then also I think what we're doing out here is quite important. So it's one of those ones where it's a bit of a toss-up, really.
The wonders of modern technology that you are able to speak to him every day.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it is a gift.
It's definitely made it more difficult with not being able to go home and families coming over as well.
Yeah,
it's 100% made it more difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that we had to isolate before we come out as well, so it's added extra time on as well.
Extended
so,
the length of the...
Yeah, so it's made it a lot more difficult.
We won't see family and friends.
And I think it's more difficult for those at home because they're in lockdown, so they can't get on with the normal day-to-day business. Yeah. While we've got our job to get on with, a lot of people back at home.
Which is true. Might make time feel a bit slower for them back home.
Yeah.
Mm. And I know things are... I don't know, definitely from my perspective, time's moving quite quickly out here.
Yeah, 100%, yeah.
Our fifth month of the tour now.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys feel the same. But
it's gone up so quick.
Yeah, the really, days just really quick. Back. Yeah.
Which is making it a lot easier.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, so I think it's only about 7 weeks to go now.
It's good, though. On the one hand, you know, it's been an incredible experience to come out here and do these things. And it's one of those things, I suppose, that I'll always look back on and go, yeah, do you know what, I was a UN peacekeeper. It's something I think that all of us can be really proud of. And so on the one hand, you know, I suppose we're all desperate to get home, but I think we'll all be very sad to leave. Mm. I mean, you know, I'll be really sad to leave the lads. And,
I'm looking forward to getting home.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I am looking forward to it.
Yeah, but then we'll be about 2 weeks home and you'll be like, can we go back out?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think that's the way with the army, though. A lot of it is, it's great in retrospect. You know, you'll be out on an exercise and stuff like that, and it's freezing cold and it's raining sideways. And at the time, you're like, oh, God, this is horrible. And then you'll come home and you'll think back on it and you'll go, oh, God, that was great. Oh, God, I had a great time.
I think that's everything you'll ever do within the military.
Oh,
always,
yeah.
That always happens.
Yeah.
It's always the counterbalance with that night when you are in the cold and you're saying, why am I here?
Yeah, why do I do it?
So then that other time, pre-exercise, when you go, yeah, really looking forward to this.
Mm, mm.
Yeah.
Been a while.
Yeah, the army is great in retrospect.
Pays the bills.
Definitely, yeah.
How does it compare to other deployments, this one? I know for me it's a lot different from the other tours I've done.
What other tours have you done?
Iraq, I've done a couple of tours there, mm-hmm. And as well as overseas exercises where it's full on. And it's a lot different from going on patrols because you're just in the vehicle, two of you unarmed.
Mm.
It took a lot of getting used to for doing that rather than when you're on a kinetic tour, you've got that actual danger to life. And so if you're not on the ball as such, or if something was to happen, there is a threat to life.
Mm.
Here, it's a lot more calmer. Still very, very important, and you've got to be on the ball as such, but it's a lot different, a lot stranger, I feel. Why is the operation important? And I think we have touched on that.
Definitely, I think we've just started to touch on it a bit there. In terms of the island as a whole, obviously, and we talk about maintaining the peace and preventing any escalation in tensions, but also the stability of the region. We know where we are is an important part of the world, and there can be far-reaching effects. We only have to look at things like without getting too political outside the island in terms of the drilling rights and so forth. And any instability in the area can have a knock-on effect. But I think on the ground level and in terms of citizens of the island, it's about providing the best for them, preventing a recurrence of the violence, you know, and ensuring that an island such as Cyprus, which is in the European sphere, is a safe place to visit. Especially the number of Brits that are visiting here. You know, I think there's numbers around 1 million a year, and have been for a number of years. Mm-hmm. That's part of my take on it.
The old words, keeping the status quo going. Mm-hmm. I think we are doing a good job at that, keeping everything as it is, so it's not escalating.
Yeah, it's really important to maintain the status quo, and as well, like, you know, keep the peace. Yeah.
Yeah.
I wish I had more to say on that.
How's the living situation here?
Ooh.
I'll let you go first.
Honestly, I've lived in worse places. And it's okay. It's not the worst place I've ever been in the world, but it's not the nicest. You know, the toilet facilities aren't the best. But, you know, I think I've probably stayed in worse.
It's not four star.
Yeah, it's not definitely not. Which is ironic, considering it used to be a 5-star hotel.
Yeah.
But
and Ledra Palace is very, very nice. It's got all the hallmarks of a...
On the bright side, rates are cheap, aren't they?
Absolutely, yeah. You know, I'm still having to pay rent at home, though.
We've got a swimming pool.
We do have a swimming pool, yeah.
Outside barbecue area.
Yeah, outside gym.
Yeah, so there are some perks. Bear in mind, it's an experience, it's an adventure. Something different in that sense. Obviously, you have the fact it does get a bit colder in the winter, but nowhere near as cold as the UK. Mm. The rains do come down pretty hard on the roof.
Yeah, they do. They do weather systems really well out here. It's proper weather.
I think we've had a good winter, though, haven't we? It's been a lot warmer than what it should have been. We've not had half as much rain as what we was expecting.
Mm. Yeah. And also, I feel like some of the thunderstorms have been incredible. I mean, I was on patrol quite late one evening, and there was a thunderstorm going on, I suppose, maybe 10 miles away, just over the mountains. And it was just this incredible... I've never seen lightning like it. It just, for hours, it just crackled away. And every now and again, it'd kind of illuminate the sky and you could see everything. And incredible, incredible thunder. And you just kind of don't get...
Again, it was like a film set, wasn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. It looked like, you know...
And then we have the lightning strike. It hit pretty much at the accommodation, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I know I jumped out of bed. And then we had the earthquake the other day as well.
Oh, yeah, we had an earthquake, didn't we? Yeah.
So we all survived the earthquake, yeah. I mean, to add to the log, isn't it?
When I went into the room, my mate asked me, was it windy? I went, no, it was an actual earthquake, that.
And the rain is torrential as well. But again, it's proper weather. I think in the UK, you know, it gets a bit drizzly. We'll have the odd thunderstorm, you know, but out here, it... Weather, you know?
And then we get the sunshine again straight
after. Yeah. But no, it's nice.
What do we do on our downtime?
Really?
A lot of gym.
A lot of gym.
Because we're locked down, our options are quite limited now, aren't they? When we first got here, it was good. We could go to the north side, go for meals, do this and that. Go out down to Paphos like you went, and to the Nessie Beach and that.
Mm.
But now it's mainly gym.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's where we are at the moment. But as you said, there was lots of opportunities when the AT was up and running.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and I think there are fantastic opportunities compared, especially to some other operational tours, what you can get out and do in your downtime. I mean, what's your shift like, Maven? How many days are you on and off?
It's really varied. Every day is different. So we'll do... QRF, Quick Reaction Force, then we might have a rest day, then we'll have guards, then we'll be on patrol, and there's no kind of rhythm or rhyme to it, but actually I think it's that, I quite like it being like that.
Mm.
It's not Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. It's patrols, QIF, QIF, guard, and it rolls through that way rather than 9-to-5 job.
Absolutely. I mean, it does. You're very aware that you're constantly at work, and not that that's a bad thing necessarily. I really like this job, but you can never really switch off from it. It's always ticking.
You're looking forward to the next thing, what you're going to be doing.
Yeah,
when you're
definitely
on patrols, you're then looking forward to, well, I won't say looking forward, but you're then looking at doing the guard rotation.
Yeah.
There's a lot of the roles here what are 9-to-5,
On certain
roles.
Because I find that, obviously, I have my work phone with me 7 days a week, but...
You never answer it.
Well, that was it, just going off there. Let's put that to one side. The greater volume of my work comes around the Monday to Friday, or particularly Monday to Thursday. Monday always seems to be a pretty mournful day when the yellows come back to work and deal with everything that's coming over the weekend.
The Monday blues.
Indeed.
I think what has been interesting, certainly for me, I mean, I haven't been in the army that long, but it's been interesting to see how the whole machine runs, if you know what I mean. So, for example, what is the job of a lance corporal? What does the company sergeant major do? You know, I've been able to see the army how it should function, as opposed to just in, you know, when you're at your ARC or your army reserve center. It's been interesting to see the whole mechanics of it, which has been really great. I've learned a huge amount on this tour.
But you get a lot of experience, so when you go on to do further military things, it's a good foundation to start with.
Oh, massively, yeah. I think as a first tour, I mean, this is my first tour, it's been fantastic for that. I feel like, you know, I want to kind of obviously continue and do more and more over the next few years. But, I mean, this has been a fantastic start.
Well, it's like, so when you've got your day-to-day routine, you know what you're doing. And although it's varied, you know what's going to be coming up in the next week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks.
Yeah.
So you can do courses to further your career within the military as well.
Oh, yeah. I've done my DTTTs out here. I'm going to do my my medic course. Yeah, loads of other bits.
Yeah, and then any civilian courses, what you can get done, because using standard
maths
learning
and
credit,
English
maths and
well.
English,
which
Mr. Roberts has been ideal to have here for that as well, because you've been helping with a lot of people as well, haven't you, with that?
Yeah, do a small amount where we can. But there have been some good opportunities in that sense. I did the level 2 power boating course back in November.
Yeah, I heard about that. That looks amazing.
What's been the food situation?
We've had it.
We've definitely had it. I think what's really interesting is Cypriot food is incredible. Even little things like, you know, the takeaways, it just feels like they really take pride in their food.
When you have a takeaway, you think straight away junk food.
Yeah.
But it's not.
Oh, it's not, is it?
No.
No. I mean, for example, I had chicken wings from, it was a big pizza store, I won't say the name. And they were the best chicken wings I'd ever tasted. I couldn't believe it.
You sound really happy with them.
I was incredibly happy with them, yeah. But, you know, in the UK, I suppose, not that I'm having a go, but you know, chicken wings are, you know, dry little bits of cardboard, but here, you know, they're these, you know, as chicken wings should be.
Yeah.
I mean, there's certain days where the chefs have really dug out blind.
KFC and the Nando's nights and that.
Nando's very good.
Yeah.
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 And then the Christmas dinner, what they provided, because they grafted.
Oh, I didn't have that, I'm afraid. I was out. So.
Yeah, you missed out.
And I mean, as well
good,
as that.
Was it good, was it?
Yeah, it was good. But as well as that, they've also been hit with COVID, so they've had to work extra hard as well.
There was a rumour I won the raffle on that day as well. But
oh, yeah, you did. That got put back in. It was a good prize you got as well.
I thought I heard that, yeah.
It was £1 million.
Something worthwhile, wasn't it?
So. So, do you want some tickets? You won't win. But the food's... There's been some very good days, and hopefully if the weather keeps improving, I mean, it's good now as it is, but we'll get some socially distanced barbecues in and the like, on the pool. But I wouldn't mind if we could get out once more, twice more, to experience a few more of the mezzes.
Incredible. Yeah.
There's a couple of nice places around, which I think Nixie has been very good to us in that sense. There's some fantastic restaurants on both sides of the border.
Yeah, definitely. So... What kit do you carry day to day?
What kit do we carry? So we take with us normally HMVGS.
So you've got all the thermal imaging.
Yeah, thermal imaging, all of that kind of stuff, so we can see in the dark.
So when we are checking the positions along the mm-hmm. both the ceasefire lines, we can be checking the positions, make sure mm-hmm. nothing's changed.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
make sure the guards are actually doing what they're supposed to be doing.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. We take a med kit with us. We also take our radio, an iPad, so that we can see where we are on the ground, which is really important. You know, you don't want to cross the line there.
Has that happened?
No. No, not that I've been aware of. The trucks are really good as well, though.
Yeah, they take some battering.
They really take a battering, but yeah, I love bouncing around the buffer zone in those.
Do you?
Yeah, I love it.
That's
love
why
it.
They keep breaking them, because you're bouncing around them.
That'll right? probably be it, yeah. A bit of rally driving late at night. Not that we ever do that. Never.
And then obviously we've got the radio kit as well, mm-hmm. which is surprising. It works surprisingly good.
Mm. It's been, again, what's been really good is learning how to use the radio properly, learning good
voice procedure.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been a great learning tool coming out here.
What about you, sir? What's your kit for the ground?
A lot less than what Mark Bacon just mentioned there. Obviously, we have vehicles and we respond to incidents from the liaison aspect. But generally, most of mine's done notepad and pen and the phone. That's where we are. It's pretty much picking up the phone and talking to LOs and actually getting on the phone and conversation with them, or if not, meeting them face to face, and then I'm able to read a lot more from their body language, and in some cases calm them down if needed. But we wouldn't carry as much kit as the patrols. But if we need to, we've got the binos and the like. But generally, the ops company are reporting and they're providing us with the evidence and the pictures that we need, and then and we'll use that to build a case. In some instances, it does work. We can get things removed, taken away from buff zone if it's construction violations and the like. Other times, things take a bit longer.
Yeah.
But we're seeing some progressive change.
Well, for the positive.
Mm.
So what's your favourite piece of kit?
So my favourite piece of kit is also my least favourite piece of kit, which is my rifle. Because on the one hand, you know, I
you've got to clean it.
Yeah, that's basically it. Yeah, it sounds great when you first join up, thinking, oh yeah, you know, I get to shoot some rifles and you know, walk around with a gun and feel really, really cool. But then you understand that you have to carry it everywhere, and then you have to clean it, and it can be a real pain. So, yeah, it's both my favourite and my least favourite.
Yeah. I mean, so what's your favourite kit, what you would be taking out on the ground? It's been the night sights, really, won't it? Does it work well?
I suppose the radio is the most important thing. You know, lots and lots of times when I've been out, you know, if I've needed to check something, for example, a position, whether or not something has already been identified and sent up. And stuff like that. So,
and plus, you like the sound of your own voice.
I love the sound of my own voice. It is lovely.
What about yours, sir? The pen?
Oh no, it's got to be my Toyota Prado. You know, highly respectable vehicle to drive around. Only the best for the officers, indeed. Yeah, not quite as good as the Rangers that you've got.
Oh yeah, I love the Ranger.
They are really, really good.
Yeah.
So I think that pretty much rounds it all up.
You're not going to ask us about the day, sir.
Well, can you carry the day sack at night? Yeah, you can. So it's just terminology, really, isn't it? Yeah, day sack. It's just what you will be using for 24-hour period. So within that 24-hour period is night.
Yeah.
Why did you join the military?
I started off unemployed and after university, and it looked like a good opportunity. Just walking down to the local Army Reserve Centre, or TA as it was at the time, only 5 minutes down the road. And just sort of rolled on from there, really.
Yeah.
How long have you been in now, sir?
10 years.
10 years, okay.
How about you, Maeve?
I joined in 2007, so this is the start of my third year. But yeah, I the army got to me very young. I was always kind of playing little war games and stuff like that. I remember digging a really big trench and putting sandbags on it when I was about, I don't know, eight or something in the garden. So, yeah,
it was
always
sandbags out here then.
Oh,
you?
God, I love it. Yeah, I live for it.
There's 11. There was 10 yesterday.
Oh, God. Yeah. No, it was always my dream to become a British soldier. And my path in was, or rather the road in, was very, very bumpy. It took me about 8 years to get in total. But I just kept applying and I got knocked back and then, you know, stuff happened. But I'm so glad that I went for it, because it was everything I hoped it would be and more.
And always the infantry for you then?
Absolutely, yeah. I always wanted to get, you know, get my hands dirty, all of the cool stuff.
What about you, Woody?
I joined 19, 20 years ago. At the age of 18, I went into the reserve centre with the view of joining full-time. And then at 18 years of age, I got called up for Iraq and then offer-trotted there. And then when I got back, I then got a good employment. So I carried on with my employment while still doing tours along the way. So I've got a happy mix of doing reserve life and civil life. So I plodded along in life that way. Okay, that's us. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Same time next week then.
Absolutely, yeah.
Thanks for listening to Fancy a Brew. Check out other episodes at bfbs.com/podcasts.